inoperable in terms of the 1984 ordinance that restricts use of that property. The city attorney's office has reviewed that and said those would be considered comparable, then the ordinance will remain in force. This is what we want and what we need in order to have a voice, in order for the neighbors who live all around that area to have a voice in what happens to that property and what the new owner, the developer from California who bought it, may try to do with the property. The only way we feel we'll have a voice is if that ordinance remains intact, and we've been told maybe a few words will be tweaked in months to come to make sure that those zones are comparable so that that will be the case. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Olson, I just wanted to thank you for not sending us 240 emails, but rather collecting your petition and sending it in one go. That's really helpful. Thank
well,
you.
Well, you're quite welcome. Some people did also send in individuals.
Not 240, I promise.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, others that are still on the list?
Veronica Bernier, Janet Freeman, Andrew Paddock.
Come on up.
Yes,
yes
up.
Please.
Hi.
Anyone else?
Douglas
plans
Young.
To speak? Okay.
Alan Kessler.
Nope, he's here. Why don't you go ahead? Thank you.
Thanks for having me at short notice. My name is Janet Freeman, and I'm happy to own a beautiful house on Northeast 28th Avenue between Everett and Davis in the Kearns neighborhood. That house is not zoned mixed use. There's a little pocket between Everett and Davis on Northeast 28th that is zoned R1, and we're sandwiched in with mixed use. We have the Coca-Cola syrup plant right kitty corner across the street, and Staccato Gelato, Bishop's Barbershop, Tabla Restaurant, and that whole little pocket is zoned residential. And on, I have submitted testimony via email to this fact. I've been working with Marty Stockton. She's helped me, and the Kearns Neighborhood Association has written a letter on their property's behalf that that little pocket be rezoned as mixed use because it's becoming engulfed in development, which I think is as it should be because it's such a great area. So I'm here just to point out that oversight. I looked at the comprehensive plan map, and it's still all showing R1. And so there are a lot of nonconforming businesses there now. So I just thought I'd come down and say, hey, it's a great area, and if we could have mixed use, people could make the best use of the properties.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Welcome. Go ahead. Whoever would like me next.
Sure. My name is Alan Kessler. Three quick points. The first one is a thank you for the policy that seems to be adding density throughout the city. In the corridors, the fact that you're adding density, all the benefits that have been talked about before, walkability, affordability, the environmental impact, for all those reasons, we should be embracing the growth and putting it there. I live in the Richmond neighborhood. I happen to be a member of the Richmond Neighborhood Association Board, although I'm not speaking for them tonight. And I have seen the pushback that you can get on this, and I appreciate Commissioner Novak's comments, and I'd like you to stand firm on doing the right thing in those regards. You may have seen some letters come in supporting a little personal campaign of mine to try to remove civic corridor designation and replace that with mixed-use urban center, at least on Powell, but probably throughout the city. Oregon Department of Transportation has not adopted Vision Zero. They engineer their roads to burn human lives in exchange for mobility. It's just decided as an engineering problem that some death is okay. We don't want freeways in our cities. I think by switching to mixed-use urban center, where we're putting civic corridor, we send a strong message to ODOT that PBOT plans to take these over, and we want to build them out like neighborhoods, not like freeways. The last issue, not to pick too much on the mayor, but you can take it, I think, is your neighborhood of Eastmoreland, just as an example, 1.5% African-American population. If you look at what you're proposing to do in Eastmoreland, is just as beige as your neighbors. There are almost no changes. There was a great article, a great publication from the Journal of the American Planning Association in this issue that emphasizes that low-density zoning leads to segmentation of wealth, especially creating pockets of wealth like your neighborhood is. And I don't think that's okay. I think that in order to add some diversity in your neighborhood, we need to add some color to the map. And not doing that there and in Richmond and all the other neighborhoods is unacceptable.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Andrew Paddock. I live in Buckman. It is often said that a beast can be brought down by 1,000 small cuts, and I'd like to propose a similar thing with regards to transportation. Namely, I'd like to advocate increased spread of sidewalks throughout the city and pedestrian connections. Lots of little projects, and in many cases, it's a lot of very small ones that I think would make a very big difference in terms of mobility throughout the city. And maybe more intelligent allocation of where those are built. In my neighborhood, we've had several of the curbs rebuilt, and they've been very nice, but they've also been unnecessary, while other parts of the city have gone without sidewalks completely. So that is one point I would like to make, is a more intelligent reallocation of the resources. And secondly, with regards to planning for future transportation, I would like to advocate a bit of caution in remembering that new technologies that are being proposed, everything from driverless cars, small pods, things like that, are future unproven technologies that are not adopted, especially the driverless car, anywhere in the world in actual commercial practice. And perhaps we shouldn't put our eggs in a basket that has not yet been proven. What the future holds, we'll see then, but I would advise against planning for it in the present. And it, of course, does nothing to counteract automobile reliance, and especially for households who either cannot drive for economic reasons, health reasons, or for people like myself who are temperamentally unsuited for driving. And there's one final thing I'd like to point out, and this is the one big dream I would like to see, and this is in regards in particular to the MAX system throughout the city. I would like to see future investment going towards improving what we have presently, not to put down future expansion, but I would like to see things like prioritization in downtown of the lights so it can move through more quickly, things like double tracking parts of the red line and maybe rebuilding Gateway Station along the lines that the Rose Quarter is, how the Yale Line splits off. That would allow a two-track connection and a much faster progression. It is a system that is notoriously unreliable and slow, and so I would like to see that rectified before we make any future expansions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, there's some people who are temperamentally unsuited to driving who nevertheless still drive, so I appreciate your point very much. Thank you all very much. Thanks. I think we have one more person to testify, Ms. Vernier.
Veronica?
Oh, I'm at Latin.
You may be. Anyone else who plans to speak before we close the hearing? You may, okay. You may get the last word.
That's all right. I love having the last word. Hi. Good evening, Mayor. It's good to see you, Mayor Hale. It's always good to see you looking well. Commissioner Amanda Fritz, you're looking well. And Commissioner Steve Novick, you're all looking well. It must have been well rested after Christmas vacation. I see that Dan Saltzman has skipped out for just a minute. I'm sure he's attending to city business. And I don't see Nick Fish here right now, but I do welcome his input. I knew him from Sacramento, the State Board of Engineers. He's a man with a plan for all seasons. I was hoping to see him today. Speaking of plans for all seasons, I just wanted to bring up one thing, that if it's Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will. And we had ourselves a great little snowstorm that was fun, dusting of white, fluffy white powder snow about 6 to 8 inches. And it felt really lightly, and it was a big surprise on Sunday. And we all awoke to it, and it was kind of like a delayed Christmas. What happened after the snowstorm was pretty predictable, and that's why I want to bring this up. During the snowstorm, 211 kicked in. This is a 211 card they do give you. And various people did call 211 for weather-related information, but also places to stay. People on the freeway were able to call 211 and get some help during the snowstorm. It's a good, viable system, and it helps even homeless and wayward, not wayward travelers, but people along the freeway. During the snowstorm, other things happened too, and that therein lies the plot. I'm a nurse, a former CVICU nurse. I've been in open heart surgery. I've been in MICUs and orthopedic units all over hospitals. Amanda knows, she's a nurse herself. And as nurses, we feel committed to preserving and protecting life, you know, along the freeways and highways and byways. And I know that you all share the same values too. Sometimes in a snowstorm, we can get kind of a deadlock in the freeway and the traffic patterns break down and people get locked in. And locked in is what I want to bring to mention.
When people get snowed in,
half minute. When people get snowed in, like the 455-pound man up on Mount Tabor, and they get real desperate. And he did catch a TriMet bus, but the bus crashed into a telephone pole, and it was real unfortunate. And those are the kind of nitty-gritty issues we have to work for during a snowstorm. And I hope we can come up with a better plan. And I hope it doesn't snow again, but it may re-hit. You just never know. So it's a challenge for the Commissioner of Transportation and for you, yourself, Mayor Hills.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for your help.
Okay, thank you. So if there's no one else who's here to testify, I'm going to close the hearing for purposes of verbal testimony and leave the record open until Friday at 5 p.m. for those that would like to submit anything further in written form. Catherine, other advice, please, from our city attorney?
Well, we have read one of only two items on the agenda.
Right, I'm sorry. We got to go back to that one. But for purposes of the comp plan itself,
yes,
we're going to leave the record open for until Friday at 5 p.m.
Until Friday at 5 p.m.
We might do that on the other document as well. I guess we could do both. So let's open that hearing and see if there's anyone here who's here to testify on what was item 28 but now has a different number. Help me again, Carla.
51-1.
Thank you.
Is adopt new and amended supporting documents for an update of Portland's comprehensive plan, accept report of the Citizen Involvement Committee.
This is just about the supporting documents. Was there anyone here to testify on the supporting documents? Okay, so seeing none, then I'll close that hearing as well, right?
One very important thing. We need to continue the hearing on both items to a new date and time, which I believe we have settled on as April 14th at 6 p.m.
Okay. So I'm closing testimony, continuing the hearing until that date. And as I mentioned earlier, there will be council work sessions in between in which we will consider the testimony and take up the question of amendments from each member of the council.
I'd just like to thank the planning staff for your diligence, both at and between the meetings, and particularly the logistics of helping people get in and out. It was extremely efficient and well done. Also, whoever schlepped the records to every single hearing, I'm really impressed. It's following the letter of the law, and there it is, sitting right there. So thank you very much for doing that.
I want to add my thanks as well. There's a lot of work underway. This is the most important document the city ever writes. So that's something I care a lot about. I know all the whole council does, and we've just gotten a tremendous amount of excellent testimony from the community over the course of these hearings. Appreciate that about Portland very much. So thank you all, and if there's nothing further that we need to address on these items, then we are adjourned for this week.
No, we're not. I mean, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. It felt like a Thursday.
It does. It really does.
I was just thinking that a few minutes ago.